If she's as good as that Thai girl that lives down the road from me, she's got a job.
Hit like the shit.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! October 26th. And what is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Come on, of course! Because I'm all the fallout from the atomic wars! This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Oh, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. That says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower at precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night! If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end. the time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden old boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, you're listening to Mad Science with crazy old wild-haired Shaziz and Muddy Mudman's on here. We got Justin Aldridge and we got my friend Steve on here. And so, well, I think we're ready to rumble. What do you guys think? No? Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once. Wouldn't want you to chip a tooth. Anyway...
I'm really enthusiastic. It's good to be back after not being here for a little while. I'm really upbeat about it.
And that sounded like it too, man.
All right, well,
yeah. If you jump over there to the shazizradio.com/superchat.html, you'll notice that there's three or four links up in there that have to do with the direct drive washing machine motors. There's a picture.
Don't forget the guy that they're trying to give him prison sentence. Oh,
we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're going to touch that one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, there's a Fisher & Paykel model, and there is a Samsung, where is that list at down there, doggone it. Also look for the Samsung washing machine motor, similar to the Fisher & Paykel. And there's a couple different examples down there how people was turning these into generators. One of them's put it on to the old exercise bike, which is a unique situation. And the other guy has been doing it for many years now. He's actually using the creek and jetted water to turn that turbine. And I can't remember what the other video down there was, but essentially it just shows a guy turning it and showing how easy it is to produce power. Now, I'm pretty amazed with these. I got fortunate enough to, as yesterday, as I was heading back to my house after going to buy some parts for a piece of machinery that broke down the other day, I stumbled onto a used appliance place down there. And I asked the man about these direct drive motors. Just so happened that he had a washing machine sitting there, and he said, well, if you want to do the work and take it out, you can have anything you want out of that washing machine for free. Of course, wow. I grabbed my tools in a real hurry before anybody changed their mind and started tearing into that puppy. But not only did I save the stator and the rotor, I also saved the barrel. So I'm going to use it's got a stainless steel barrel in it that I'm going to use for a top load on a Tesla coil you're going to love. Anyway, So I saved the bottom piece where all the bolts hold the stator to the actual drum itself, and I was able to save the shaft as well. So I got an entire deal set up with all the bearings and everything just right, and I hooked that doggone thing up to a 150-watt light bulb just out of curiosity to see how, number one, how much drag would be on it as far as back EMF, and number two, to see whether or not I could light up that doggone bulb with just my hand. And I wasn't expecting to see what I saw. But I barely turned that doggone thing with my hand and was able to light that 150-watt light bulb up there. And, of course, I did feel the back EMF. It was a drag on it, but it wasn't substantial enough that if I put electric motor to that puppy, that I couldn't get that thing to turn nicely. Now, if you've seen that video that I put out there called the X13 Fun, and I had a squirrel cage fan blower and a blower motor going to turn that X13, you could see what that thing was capable of doing. But I'm really impressed with these Samsung washing machine motors. They're number one, they're built better. The other ones, the Fisher & Paykel's, they're plastic. They got, yeah, they're plastic rotors on there.
Yeah,
but the one that the Samsung version of it, it has a galvanized metal sort of rotor on there. It's pretty sturdy, and they're pretty heavy duty. And so, with that said, right out of the gate, absolutely no modifications whatsoever, you have a ready-made generator. You just, whenever you get one of those and you recycle the parts off of it, save everything from the bolt pattern all the way to the doggone the shaft itself. And those shafts on the Samsung washing machine motors, those are embedded in probably the hardest aluminum that I have ever seen in my entire life. I used a grinder cutoff tool and could barely cut through that stuff. And even when I got partially cut through there and we tried to chip it away with a chisel, man, that is some tough alloy. I don't know what they put in that particular aluminum, but
it's not aluminum, it's stainless steel. That's why.
No, this is aluminum. It definitely, it's not the rotor itself, or the drum. It is, they have a molded, it looks like a, it's got three legs off of it that actually bolts to the bottom of the drum. And it, I've seen some really tough aluminum alloys before, but this stuff right here, if you melted that down and reused it, sheesh. That's some incredible. It's got some incredible strength to it, man. But
Shaziz, you do realize that all problems can be fixed by just using a bigger hammer.
Yeah, well, I used a pretty doggone good size hammer too, and I was standing on one side of it while my friend was sitting there banging on the other side of it, and we already had cut almost halfway through this or more, and we could barely get that stuff to break loose. I mean, it was incredible, but it just shows you how, you know, there's some pretty exotic materials out there that people use that could be used for a lot of other things. Either way, back to the motor, that particular motor right there, I'm pretty impressed with. You don't have to do any modifications to it whatsoever. One of these videos that I posted down there in the link talks about rewinding the stator on there to get lower voltage and higher current, higher amperage too, and I don't think you need to even do that at all. I think that's just making it harder than necessary. Now, the guy was using that with a bridge rectifier to charge up a 12-volt battery, but I'm telling you, Raymond brought out a bridge rectifier that would go to a two-phase motor, and that thing goes from 1,000 volts all the way up to 100 amps, so it's more than enough. I'm figuring you could actually just connect that right directly to these particular motors as well. So you guys got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, they're a wind turbine project in a box.
That's, yeah, beautiful. Yep.
If you do put it up in certain parts of certain countries, then you will end up with a sick prison sentence.
Yeah, where was that one? Minnesota? Minnesota man?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Anybody want care to read that story there out? And I'm looking at a picture, basically Minnesota man arrested and sentenced to 6 months in jail for having a wind turbine on his property. Seriously?
I mean, I think what it was, yeah.
Thing about that guy is basically he had it up there. There are no laws against wind turbines in that town, and basically they wanted to take the wind turbine down. Several court cases later, he's basically he took it down, and then it wasn't good enough. They still wanted to keep on. You know, I mean, some local governments, man, they just, if they get it in their mind to give some guy a hard time just to prove a point and flex their muscles. Yeah, they wanted them to take out the cement base, and in order to do it, after talking to several engineers, in order to do that, it would ruin, to take that cement base out, it would ruin the foundation of the house.
Well, to me, I don't even care if a doggone cement base would have been the problem. I'm sitting here looking at this picture of this wind turbine that this guy's got, and it's not even... It's a tiny little thing, man.
Right, it's a micro.
Yeah, you put
in
some...
In fairness, it's the women that have gone to horse races in bigger hats.
Yeah. If you... Look, people out there got them doggone picnic tables with umbrellas in it. This isn't even as gaudy looking as one of those, man. You know, actually, this is kind of artistic looking. I can't believe anybody would even remotely complain about that little turbine there. That's nuts.
Now, if it had been sort of Kiss Made, where they got that Disney village full of, you know, wannabe important people that like to tell other people what they can and can't put in their own front garden, I could imagine it. But I thought Minnesota was a bit smarter than that, to be honest.
Well, apparently not. You know, it's That's mind-boggling to me, but that's just proof positive. That's why I call it mad science. That's exactly what I'm talking about, man. First they want to sit around and hypocritically talk about carbon taxes and reducing your carbon footprint and all that kind of stuff. And then you get individuals going out there trying to do solar and wind and stuff like that, and then they're under attack by the same people who said, we got to save the planet. Seriously?
Reading the article. For more than Hold on, he's reading the article.
Go ahead, buddy.
For more than a year, we have been following the story of a Minnesota man, Jay Nygaard, who is routinely risking jail time because he refuses to remove a wind turbine from his property. Nygaard had been in and out of court over the years, and despite short-lived victory in October, he was recently backed in front of a judge facing a contempt of court charge for refusing a court order to remove the turbines from his property. He did eventually remove the wind turbine, leaving only the cement bases, because removing them would cause structural damage to their house. This was not good enough for the local government, who ignored the advice of three different engineers and demanded that they remove the bases despite risking damage to the home. On Friday, Nygaard was arrested and is now facing 6 months in prison, not jail, prison, for refusing to remove the cement base. According to Kyler Nygaard, Jay's son, his father even attempted to make peace with the county and compromise on a number of different issues, but they ignored his appeals. The choices for my dad were potentially destroy our foundation in the house or go to jail. He even offered an olive branch, saying he would add an easement to the deed, saying when the house is demolished, the pad must be removed. But that was ignored also. So Kaler said in an exclusive interview with the Free Thought Project, the base was level with the ground and 4 feet cubed. We removed the top half of the concrete and used a metal cutting tool to remove the top half of the bolt assembly, rendering the structure unusable. They say that we have to remove the footing 100% and has to be inspected by the city, which we have three different engineers all saying we should just leave it. One of them even does contract work for the city. Kaler said that although there are no ordinances against windmills, and that's the big part, there are no ordinances against windmills, the county has a personal vendetta against his family. Nygaard has the right to do whatever he wants with his own property, but unfortunately, in a democracy such as the United States, the property rights of an individual can be overridden according to the whims and of politicians and the demands of uninvolved third parties.
Well, I see one flaw with their whole plan anyway, because the United States is not and has never been a democracy, and that's where they keep on getting their, you know, every time I hear a representative say that we're going to protect our democracy, that reject took a doggone oath to up and hold the Constitution, and he doesn't even know the difference between a representative republic and a democracy. But that's why the whole problem's going on. But for these guys...
It doesn't sound like they're running it like a democracy.
It sounds like they're running like a dictatorship and abuse of power whenever they can't even have a doggone wind turbine on his own property. And looking at that picture, that's a beautiful wind turbine he's got.
I mean, not only that base is actually great. Like, that's what's meant, 4 foot by 4 foot base into the ground.
Yeah, nobody's even going to see it.
Thread and everything. A lot of people put stuff up and they don't even bother with that.
Yeah.
That is 100% legal by even ham radio standards.
You ain't going to see it unless you got your big nose poking over somebody else's fence. You know?
It's all It's all a stupid deal of, you know, they can say, well, we want you to take it down. They said, why? We don't want to. Oh, we'll show this guy. So they flex their muscle. That's illegal. They're imposing their feelings against what the law says on one guy.
Money.
I think we all need to just basically expose this and bring it out all over. I mean, it needs to go viral. So pop into the chat there, get that link and share it with everybody. Make a YouTube video. Make sure you share it with everybody. Put it on Google Plus. Put it on your Facebook, Twitter, Twerp, or whatever.
Money. There's another link in that. Where it says despite a short-lived victory in October, it's actually a link to another article by the Three Fork Project, and at the end of that article they were saying that Nygaard was one of the lucky ones. However, earlier this week we reported that 24 police and an armoured vehicle were sent to collect $80,000 in fines that were imposed on a peaceful 75-year-old man because he was running a business on a piece of land that was apparently in a residential zone. So, I mean, there comes a point where
there's a lot of business
the car is pushing the horse.
Started in the garage. We don't have that freedom anymore. What's going on?
Yeah. Bill Gates started in his mother's basement.
Well, actually,
that's probably not a bad thing if we don't have any more of him, but...
And the money he's made out of it all so far, doggone, they ought to find a living fire on him.
I'm still hung up on the hypocrisy, man, because on the mainstream media, they're continuously talking about the global warming. Oh, well, we got global warming. We're all going to die. The planet's going to burn up and ice is going to melt and we're all going to drown. They're continuously doing it over and over and over so that they can flat out steal. I mean... You know what I'm saying? Like, steal, like, I'm going to take your wallet at gunpoint. They're stealing from people with false science. And then when people will go out there and try to put up some solar panels or a wind turbine, they turn around and give them a rash. That's ridiculous, man. That's just flat out ridiculous. And people wonder why I get upset. That's exactly why I'm mad, because it's ridiculous. It's beyond stupid. You know, these
kind of like that movie Idiocracy, huh?
Yeah, these folks that go out there save the trees with the wooden sign and the paper deal, they're not even as stupid as half these government individuals out there. I mean, it's ridiculous enough to say you want to save the trees while you're holding a wooden sign with paper, you know, and all that, and those probably end up in the landfill anyway. Why not just go out and plant a tree? But if you're going to talk about the whole so-called global warming climate change scam, and you want to try to reduce your carbon footprint, the governments of the world should be doing everything under the sun to back them, at least, you know, if not financially, at least back them, you know, saying, you know, hey, if you can do anything to take one light bulb off the power grid, that reduces the carbon footprint of the whole country, you know. They should allow everybody out there to do that. But now the power companies themselves are actually trying to stick it to people who's doing alternative energy, because now they want to say that, well, we're not making this enough money, so we gotta charge extra fees if you're connected to the grid. And then when you try to disconnect from the grid, certain places out there like in California and Florida are telling you it's illegal to get off the grid.
Right.
So,
I mean, even Steve will tell you, man, if you got solar panels, they want you, you know, they want you to pay to have your solar panels.
Well, what about all boils down to?
They charge you 25, in Spain, in Europe, they charge you something like 25 euro cents per kilowatt that you produce with your own equipment.
Yeah.
Because the Spanish government owns the sun.
Isn't that ridiculous? Now,
I'd like to see him repossess it.
That's what it all boils down to is money, man. Because
the electricity off the grid costs half that.
They
want to charge you double, but you try to save some money.
What
on your investment?
What the initial deal was that any extra power that you generate, you get to sell back to the power company. And that supposedly eased the burden of the power company having to work their generators so hard because it's extra power. And when they realized that, hey, now they're actually having to pay some money to people as opposed to collecting money, now it's a problem, see? Now they went from...
That's not the problem. See, you're not making as much as you're using, so they don't have to pay. It's the fact that they're not taking money out of your pocket, and they say, you're cutting corners, you're making it cheaper. Oh, we're going to charge you double.
Yeah, but see, it was initially set up that they would pay you whatever the normal fee would be for per kilowatt. They would pay you whatever extra you put into it. But now they want to reduce it by half and put extra fees on there so that they don't have to pay as much out there, because they probably got it set up to where there was a few people out there that got wise, put up some really decent equipment, and they started generating a lot of power and were actually making money off the power company. Well, that ain't going to go, because the power company needs to be rich, not you. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you do realize that a lot of the people that are suffering from this, it's actually, when you try and disconnect yourself from the main grid, there are UN ordinances and United Nations mandates out there that claim that if you are not connected to a main grid system, your house is not fit for human habitation.
Right, and it's condemned.
Yeah. Now, I have a little message for people. That's your wake-up call.
I love it.
I bought another alarm clock. I couldn't resist it.
I love it.
It's a good point, though, isn't it? It's time we woke up and realised that, you know, paying taxes is not going to save the planet.
That's exactly what's right, man. Because look,
but yeah, we had tax relief from old Bummer, and
who?
Old Bummer. You know, Bummer.
You know the guy destroying America right now? That guy.
Yeah. And he's really working overtime now because he knows he's on his way out. He's trying to finish the job. just knock him out and let's get it over with, you know. Look, he gives us tax relief. Yeah, install your solar, install this, we'll pay half of it, and blah blah blah. You'll get your tax relief and all this stuff. The same thing with when they tried to do that cash for clunkers deal to save the planet. Well, it created more greenhouse gas, hauling all that, then melting it all, crushing it and melting it all down, than it would if the things just remained on the road. That's number one. But what did they, and you looked at the, in order to get your stuff there, you had to buy another car. Okay, and they'd give you so much off. They'd give you so much off for these cars that they allowed you to buy. And what were they? Hummers and big SUVs that suck gas like you wouldn't believe. That's what they were selling. And the thing is so you get these, and now you're paying a whole lot more than what you would have just to keep your clunker. You didn't get much for your clunker, as they called it. But these clunkers actually put out better emissions than the regular cars, because they didn't have 90% of these newer cars and stuff out here got so many sensors and things to go wrong on them, and once one of them goes wrong, they pollute more. But that's not the thing. See, it's the deal is they lure you into this, so they give you all these incentives to get all your green stuff, so now they can tax you for having them.
Muddy, I had a car in Ireland that did 60 miles a gallon.
They're going to reel your butt in. That's all it is.
Muddy?
Yeah.
I had a diesel car in Ireland, the Ford Fiesta, that would average about 60 miles a gallon.
Yeah.
And that got us around perfectly well for about 5 or 6 years. And the only reason why we sold it is because we upgraded.
Yeah, there's a newer VW in other parts of the world that gets 150 miles to the gallon, okay? And it's a VW.
That's kind of debatable, mate.
You can't get it in the United States.
Yeah, but you realize that they were reprogramming their electronic control systems to fake tests.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Regardless of all that, we know we can make a car that's more efficient. That's proven technology. Look, one of the things that drives me flat out insane is in California, they have passed a legislation that pretty much says that by 2017, all houses, including existing houses and all new houses and buildings and structures, have to be 0 point by 2017. That means that everyone has to spend probably about $58,000 to retrofit each of their houses in order to get their house to be 0 point. And what 0 point means, according to them, is this. You either got solar or you got wind or some sort of alternative energy that is literally your house is its own generator. Now, California seems to think it's possible. All right? And they're going to force everybody into it. And they know doggone good and well that they're not going, there's a lot of people out there not going to be able to afford $58,000 for equipment to retrofit their house. So those folks are going to have houses that are now condemned. And they're going to end
up, they're going to charge you your electricity.
They're going to end up forcing them off their land. They're going to end up, people are going to end up buying that property for pennies on the dollar. And they're going to put everyone that used to own their own house into stack and pack apartments to where now they're all combined in the city, and they're even doing with the transportation on there, making it so that you, it's harder and harder for you to be able to afford to drive a car, and so eventually you're going to be riding a bus or the train, or you're going to be walking or riding a bike. They even got bike programs out there now to where you basically got to pay to use a bicycle to go to and from work.
But, yeah. On top of that, there are more people using bikes as transportation than there are cars and other vehicles.
It all falls under the same United Nations Agenda 21 craziness, you know, and people over here in America's not going to take it, man, I'm telling you, and they know that. They know that's why all this doggone gun control is going around, because they know, first off, China even said at one time they won't invade America by ground because behind every blade of grass there's a gun. And who wants to fight an enemy that's not in uniform that you can't see that's going to get you from behind while you come rolling in with your military? They don't want to do that. So the only way that they can get their UN agenda through and their one world government that they're all so itching for is to unarm the American people. Once the Second Amendment's gone in the United States of America, then the whole entire Constitution is gone, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And everybody saw the whole Jade Helm thing, all right? Everybody saw them moving all this military equipment around in the United States, but what you did not see is them taking it back. It never went back the other direction. They put all their chess pieces in place for just such an emergency that when the American people finally get fed up with all the ignorance going on and decide to protest, whether it be violently or peacefully, they already have every single thing in place necessary to take care of business. You watch what's going on overseas over there with Russia and Syria and China and Syria and all the other things going on in Israel and all over Europe, all that kind of stuff. You watch. Mark my words. Before it's all said and done, there's going to be either an American plane or a Russian plane shot by the opposition, and it's going to all break out. But when it's all said and done, mark my words, you're going to find out that while this big show is going on over there, it's going to turn out to be everybody's on exactly the same size and y'all been had. Americans are being played like a banjo right now. They're being fooled.
Any way of free energy or any way of self-sustaining on your own property is illegal. Camp land is illegal. And if you need to heat your house with wood, well, the UN's got a deal that all wood stoves all...
Yeah, you can't even, you're not even going to be able to burn firewood.
Give them money. Yeah, they shut your electric grid off because they want to give you a hard time. Well, you have the right to freeze, and that's all. You cannot go out there and put wood in your wood stove. You can't even have a barbecue in your backyard.
Muddy, I've still got a house in Ireland that we're trying to sell. I've still a house in Ireland that you can't sell, Muddy. And I don't think anybody's going to be turning around to the Irish population in the near future saying you can't burn wood in your open fireplace.
Well, Well,
on top of that, they put a smart meter in to meter my water. So I'm currently arranging to have somebody take it out and send it back to them with a bill for its removal, because they didn't seem to think they needed my permission to put it in. So I certainly don't need their permission to take it out and send them a bill for damaging my private property.
Well, that's a whole other thing here. They need to, nothing against England. Well, England should stay in England, and Irish should stay in Irish. They need to get England out of Ireland. That's my fact, and I mean, I'm not trying to bring up a new subject, but, you know,
well,
look, it's not their country.
I immigrated to England.
Four people signed deeds. They divided Ireland up into four places, and they signed deeds to each other and said, went over there, see, we got paper, we own you. You know, no, I think they just need to get that. Well, they need to get out of Ireland. They don't belong there. It's not their land to begin with. Matter of fact, there is no land anywhere in the world that has a deed on it that wasn't stolen somehow, because in the beginning all the land was free. Who sold it to the first person? And who sold it to the first person before there? Because before that, it wasn't owned.
Yeah,
somebody stole it.
Yeah, but regardless, we're here, we're now, and here's the thing, guys. Look. If the people of the world are fed up with the way that this situation's going down, first off, you got to stop asking for permission. And if I put a wind turbine up in my yard and the government decide they're going to tell me I got to take that thing down, they'd literally have to come out here physically at gunpoint, and they'd have to take it out themselves, because there ain't no way in heck that I would take my off of my own property a wind turbine or a solar panel or anything like that. This whole situation where you got a bunch of rich people around the world and the UN that supposedly knows the best for everybody, that first off, they need to start practicing what they preach, because of taking all them UN military vehicles all over the place and airplanes is adding to their own carbon emissions. They're talking about reducing the footprint, but yet they're still dropping bombs on other nations out there and fighting over oil and resources and such. We got the technology to literally have free energy around the world. And it's proven. NASA's proven it a million freaking times. And sitting there talking about how the Earth is this big, massive generator, and there's all this energy in the air and all this kind of stuff. And they talk about... I just watched a deal on Sprites yesterday on one of the public access channels or whatever, and they showed all this energy up there in the sky, and it's guys talking about if you got an antenna, it's going to resonate at eight cycles per second or something like that, because there's that much energy that's around us. So we got all this energy around us, yet we're fighting over fossil fuels that they're telling us to our faces that is destroying the planet. And every time we try to make a move towards reducing our carbon footprint or going off the grid, this is what we got to deal with. You see what I'm talking about? People
yeah,
need
I'll
to stop asking for permission and just do it.
I'll tell you what I want to do. See, they write out a piece of paper that makes it mandatory, that makes it law, that makes it lawful. So I tell you what we're going to do. Me, Steve, Justin, and you. There were four people. We're just going to grab out a piece of paper. We're going to divide the White House and the land there. And I'm going to sign a piece of paper to you. You're going to sign a piece of paper to Justin. Justin's going to sign one to Steve, and Steve will sign one to me, that we own the property by order and by jurisdiction of the Redneck World Order. And that makes it all legal, and that we have to make it all green energy, and we'll be a sovereign there. And no laws by UN apply there. And we'll just sign that makes it all legal and everything, okay?
Muddy.
Yeah.
Well, in the Redneck New World Order, where are you going to find a short little man with spectacles, greasy hair, and a rubber stamp to make it official?
Oh, no, it's not a Redneck New World Order. It's a Redneck.
Well, look, man.
We're the Redneck World Order.
Sorry.
However it works, the whole green energy thing is a scam. And it's been a scam from get-go, because if it wasn't a scam, then we'd already have it accomplished by now. The whole deal is, as long is the power structure has the power to control it, it's all right. But if they, if you've got your own solar panel and you're generating your own power and you're not making no money for them, then it becomes a problem. And so the whole green, going green thing is just flat out ridiculous. It's a way to steal from people, and I mean stealing. It's worse than extortion. They're just flat out stealing right in front of your face. They're stealing from people that have no concept of basic science, can't understand that CO2 doesn't rise, it falls because it's heavier than oxygen, and if oxygen can't get up there, there's no way in some hairy heck that carbon monoxide, or carbon dioxide for that matter, is going to make it up there and stay up there. At 10,000 feet, that's the highest you can go without supplemental oxygen. And they're trying to tell you that the doggone CO2 is getting up there, trapping in the dang heat, and causing a global warming or climate disruption or climate change or whatever the heck it's going to be next week. The whole ignorance of all of it. You got to watch their actions. All right, don't listen to their dang words. Watch their actions. If they're still flying around in corporate jets and telling you you got to ride a ricochet or a bicycle to work, then something ain't right. You know what I mean? It just...
We got plenty of guys with grease. We got some that change the oil in their hair every day when they're working on the cars. So.
Are we still on the grease? Look, I'll grease my hair down if it'll work. Doggone it.
Shazoos, I sent you a tune there.
Well, that's going to be on the wrong computer. I got Skype, Sam's on the total opposite computer. You might just have to...
It's breaking up pretty badly.
Yeah, that's a cruddy microphone on my headset, so, but it's going all right on the other deal. Anyway, you might just have to play it right through Skype.
Yeah.
But listen, look.
How'd you do that?
You wearing that hair set is going to mess up your Einstein haircut, Bubba.
Well, you know what? You remember that doggone movie, Old Brother, Wherefore Art Thou, and he had all those cans of hair grease? You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm going to get. I'm going to get some of them cans of hair grease and slick my hair back and become a politician, man. I go to Congress, and when I lean up against the wall, it look like somebody slapped a greasy cheeseburger on it. Leave a doggone stain on the wall right there in Congress. I'm telling you, man, look, these guys out there that are supposedly in charge, they go by a democracy, but we're a representative republic, and we got screwed because these guys think we're a democracy, and we're not. We never have been. But regardless of all that, they're up there passing laws and legislation that affect everybody from the wealthy all the way down to the dirt poor, and even the homeless guy can't even catch a break, man. You can't even sleep underneath the bridge without going to jail anymore. And so there ain't no freedom over here in America, and all these people around the world that think America's such a wonderful place to live, you need to come over here and try it for a month or two. Because everything costs money. Yeah.
You can see how the world's changed. Because before, when there was a toll, it was because of something under the bridge. But nowadays, there's a toll from a little magic eye that reads an RFID chip on top of the bridge.
Yeah.
And if you try to sleep under that bridge, you get arrested because that's not where you collect tolls from anymore.
You know what? They're sitting there talking about all these problems in the United States. I got a border wide open. They're shipping people in out of God knows where, which I ain't got no problem with people migrating. You know, America's a melting pot. But look, you're sitting there telling everybody we got all these problems and we can't sustain this and that. But yet you're like, got the door wide open. Said, come on in. You know, hey, help join in on the ruckus. You're telling about we're bankrupt. You're saying $7 trillion or $8 trillion in debt, and they're still shipping money overseas. They're still bombing over here and bombing over there and just creating one heck of a mess. And then they get on the mainstream media and tell you, well, you got to reduce your carbon footprint, fool, because you're going to destroy the planet with that doggone car. And then the whole hole in the ozone layer lie. That one just, it ain't even worth talking about. It's so stupid. Alright, I've had high voltage running in my lab, and you can smell the ozone so thick it ain't even remotely funny. And there's lightning going on all over this planet all day long. It's going on right now as we speak. There's thousands and thousands and millions of volts going on all over the place, creating ozone. So, don't even start with that whole hole in the ozone layer. NASA's just jacked up. They don't even know basic science, man. And they can't even get a decent photo of the freaking planet they supposedly just landed on. So, I ain't got nothing good to say about them turkeys. And if they got this doggone technology that's able to go all the way out to Pluto, produce 200 watts of power from thermoelectrics, and send a signal back so far that you can barely get sunlight out there for solar panels, but you got a powerful enough radio to transmit a picture all the way back, and then when the picture gets here, it's not even a very good picture. And then you're going to sit there and tell everybody, you got to reduce your carbon footprint. You just send what you classified as nuclear waste down into space, and hopefully it'll land on some alien's hat, and they'll get ticked off and come down here and slap NASA around. That's what I'm saying. These folks are nuts, man. We got mentally ill people in charge of the government over here. We got traitors and chiefs, and we got... And you think it's good living in America?
It
Come
sure
on
is.
Over here and get you a job, man.
Well, I would personally pay to see aliens land on the planet and walk up to the head of NASA and give them a slap up the side of the head and say, what do you think you're planning?
I'd pay to see it, too.
You're sending your nuclear waste out to the edge of the solar system. Have you not made enough dirt already?
That's what I'm saying. Look, if the alien came down here and they was getting ready to go slap NASA, I'd jump on their ship and go with them, man. Because these guys are ridiculous. You got all that doggone money to do all this space exploration out there, and you're sitting there sending crappy pictures back from Mars or Pluto. We don't even know everything there is to know about the moon right now. We should be crawling all over the moon. There should be remote control drones everywhere all over it there. It should be like piped right into the schools. If kids want to know what the moon's made of, whether it's made out of cheese or whatever, all they got to do is get online and sit there and drive a rover around and take perfect HD pictures. I mean, it ain't that far away that we couldn't do that. But no, that ain't going down either. But these idiots are getting...
That's because we ain't got permission to put...
Yeah, these idiots are getting billions of dollars to do everything they're doing, and they can't even get basic science down right. Yeah, are you kidding me, man? I just get so doggone frustrated. You know, the governments of this world are full of it. Yeah.
Do you think if they went
down, your computer is downloading something, so you're breaking up pretty bad there.
Go ahead, Steve.
If when the Americans went to the moon, if they did it in the 21st century, and there was a bunch of grey aliens sitting around, you know, handcuffed to each other, protesting with a big sign saying, Yankee, go home. Do you think they'd get some retarded thug to spray them with face pepper spray?
Probably. I guarantee you they'd probably be up there jab-slapping the doggone aliens trying to get some taxes out of them. You know Uncle Sam's got to get his share.
Is NASA developing special weighted shields for the lower gravity of Earth so they can kettle them into a small area and then start beating them up because they're kind of threatening 200 armed men?
Well, what would
people from another planet think of who we are and the way we treat our own people?
Well, the No Actual Science Association out there, if aliens show up, they would be the last ones I would say need to be representing us to to aliens. And if aliens came down and watched our government for a while, they'd probably just pack up and go back home and say, we're not even going to waste a laser bomb on this planet because these guys are already killing themselves. So, you know, if there was aliens out there and they look down here at all this shenanigans going on, there ain't no way in heck they'd want to come down and talk to us. You talk about a bunch of antisocial beings on this planet. Throwing bombs on each other's head and then crying about how the planet's getting ate up. Man, look. If that dude in Minnesota... If that dude in Minnesota's wind turbine was such a doggone problem to the planet, then the mainstream media needs to just shut up. And the government needs to shut up. Anybody out there who wants to preach climate change needs to just shut up. There should have been 100,000 people standing on that guy's lawn protecting his wind turbine. Where were they? Where were all the protesters? Where were all the Save the Planet people? There should have been over 100,000 people standing in front of that government saying, no, you ain't taking down his windmill. He's reducing his carbon footprint trying to save the planet, you idiot.
Why do you think they gave the police armored vehicles that can drive over a landmine that are 15-foot high and can take shelling from artillery?
Because they want to beat us toothless when we get our solar panels up. You can't, hey, look, know your place and shut your face and pay your taxes, stupid. That's what they want. And I ain't having it. I ain't, look, if they start trying to throw me in jail for carbon taxes, I'm going to go to jail. And I'm going to wait for my day in court. And when I'm going to talk to that judge, and if he's looking like some sort of cross-eyed idiot at me when I'm trying to tell him the basic science, I'm going to give him what for. That's all there is to that craziness going on, man.
What we should do is to collect all of our carbon tax reminders. You know, when they send out a letter saying you haven't paid your carbon tax yet, what you do is you collect up all the letters and go outside their office and burn it.
Yeah, and send them back the soot.
I paid our carbon tax. I paid my carbon tax one time already, and it was called the... donating to the greenhouse and global warming. Did that every time I got on a plane and stuff. And what happened to the money? It just disappeared somewhere. Kind of like that money they sent over there to, when they were in Afghanistan. All that money disappeared too. Have no idea where it went to.
Well, I'm saying
it went to Swiss bank.
Cue the banjos because Chicken Little's running around like a chicken with his head cut off hollering the sky is falling. Alright?
It is.
If the sky is falling, it's because the government's bringing it down.
It is.
With all their doggone pollution, man. Look. Tesla showed
how... Wait a minute. There's still another point. If they're worried about all this carbon tax... they're saying, you know, people are disproving it, you know, and all that kind of crap. That's why they're spraying all these chemtrails too, right? Throwing all these nanoparticles of aluminum, beryllium, and barium down into the ground, and it gets up, soaked up by the roots, goes out to the leaves of the plants and the trees, and clogs them up. It's kind of like putting a banana in the tailpipe of a car or a clogged muffler. If you can't get air out of the engine, you can't get air into the engine. The same thing with the nutrients and the water, so the leaves get clogged up and the trees can't soak up anything and they die.
What?
That's what they're spraying out. They're worried about carbon. And here's the other thing. Where they got a coal-burning plant, there's lots of carbon coming out of that coal-burning electric plant. And the trees and the plant life downwind of them are thriving.
Answer me a question.
So, I mean, if you want to think here, listen. Let's put it this way. What do you think these plants do? They don't just make carbon, they don't just turn carbon dioxide into oxygen, you know? That's the main thing they do. They take this carbon and the plant life thrives. Just like in the rainforest. They cut down so many doggone trees and they wonder why it doesn't rain so much and the oxygen percentage in the air has dropped. So, look, just let the carbon go. Let these plants thrive. Stop trying to kill the plants, and you won't have to tax people for carbon. And the thing is, I mean, look, one volcano eruption, and there are several. There's several, gases and, I mean, there's several per week and everything of volcanoes going off. And one eruption takes care of about 10 years worth of all factory, industry, and cars going down the road, and much less all the people that breathe.
Yeah.
One eruption of the volcano.
And answer me a question, buddy.
Going off each day. Let's just charge the mountains.
Muddy, answer me a question. Are they or are they not shooting depleted uranium out of shell casings through guns?
Yes.
So, how's that environmentally friendly if they're all worried about radioactive trash laying everywhere? Why are they shooting depleted uranium out of guns? Why are they even blowing off bombs anyway? Because you think those bombs ain't kicking some crud up into the air? And look, check this out. Carbon tax. You go over there and you drop a bomb on a huge building, and God knows what's in the building. All kinds of toxic waste and plastics and rubber and stuff like that. And you set this big giant black cloud of crud floating up in the air, and then you're going to get on doggone mainstream media with your crooked eye looking out at all the people and saying, oh, you got to reduce your carbon footprint. No, pay no attention to that black cloud we just made over there, or that depleted uranium in that poor man's back. Jive turkeys. That's what I'm saying. Driving me nuts.
Well, she is. You know the point of the uranium bullets, or the uranium shells that they use, what their purpose is for.
Armor piercing?
Yeah, and you know what happens when that uranium shell goes through the armor of a tank?
Yeah, blows up everybody inside?
It vaporizes inside the vehicle.
Yeah, so, you know, hey, let's go around and tear the planet up.
Tanks so much instantly. Well, it turns instantly into pink mist, anything that's inside it, and it also vaporizes the shell. One, because of its high velocity, and two, because of its high density. So what you end up with then is not a centralized, concentrated dose of uranium, even though it's been depleted. You end up with uranium mist at atomic particle levels.
All right.
Which
so
basically means we have a dose of it, because what happens to dust, it goes up into the atmosphere.
So here's the deal. Look. Okay.
Hey, check your Skype message, Derek, because this.
Alright, what am I looking for? Oh, yeah, okay, we'll work that out. Alright, look, first, there's two big issues going on this planet, according to the environmentalists. First off, Fukushima, the biggest elephant in a room that nobody's even remotely talking about, and so the government's all talking about saving the planet, but yet they are still not doing anything about that episode over there. So maybe there ain't nothing to that episode. So let's jump on back in time to the whole BP oil spill situation. All right. Well, they pump thousands of gallons of Corexit down into the doggone ocean, and they're wondering why fish are popping up dead all the time. So, hold on, I gotta type a message. Do-do-do-do-do. On Skype. Alright, it's only on Skype, folks. Don't worry.
Okay. I hear you, okay.
Alright, now, they are pumping thousands of gallons of Corexit in there that disperses the oil. Okay, where's the oil go? Alright, well, it goes down in there and it basically kills off the fish eventually. The krill and the tiny shrimps and whatever out there that the fish need to eat. You know, little fish eats the little one and the bigger fish eats the bigger one and so on and so forth. And the birds eat the fish and the birds are dying too. And the doggone walruses are starving and the whales are beaching themselves and so on and so forth. So we got a natural disaster of epic proportions going on in the world. And they want to mess with some guy that's got a wind turbine. Alright, well, you know what? This is what I'm talking about. It's just flat out ridiculous. That's why I call it mad science. So apparently we need a music break. So everybody, you're listening to Mad Science. Stay tuned, because it's probably liable to get a little hotter up in here, because I'm getting a little hot under the collar because it's just driving me nuts. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Can you remember?
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
No, no, no. Here we go.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
All right, everybody, we're back. You're listening to Mad Science there. So I got Thomas Anderson joined us on here. How you doing, brother?
I don't know.
Number nine.
Do any of us know?
Yeah, we've been talking about all kinds of craziness on here today, mostly the hypocrisy of all the ludicrous government agencies out there that don't have a clue what they're talking about as far as science goes, and guy getting thrown in jail or potentially thrown in jail for having a wind turbine in his yard, and all kinds of goodies. See, the whole thing, but to me, and the reason why I'm not a NASA groupie, going twice. Can you guys hear me? All right, well, apparently they can't hear me, so I'm talking to myself again. All right, well, look, there's no way that the government's going to, allow you to have free energy, so maybe we just all need to walk away and give it up. Are you guys still there?
You're bouncing around like a kangaroo, mate.
All right, okay, go ahead. What do you guys think about this whole shenanigans thing? Anybody?
Well, I think everybody should make a wind turbine and put it in their garden.
Yeah? Go ahead.
That would be a good protest, I think.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Look, back to those direct drive modes. So, I guess it's just me for a minute. Anyway.
Well, I'm here, but I can't really hear you.
All right, well, look. What do you think that, what do you think about this whole hypocrisy of all of the governments out there telling everybody the sky is falling, and yet we still aren't using existing technology to save the planet? Anything?
From what you said, Shaziz, I come for, like, all the science propagation or propaganda. I don't think about it whatsoever. Put it behind me.
All right, well, we're out here trying to show...
Out of my own eyes is the sky falling, so I'm not worried about it.
All right, well, we're out here trying to teach the world how to get electricity. Out to trying to...
is a school. So now we're obtaining two churches. You know, we're doing stuff with the other one, and school for this one.
Okay, are you going to have alternative energy there?
Oh, yes, sir.
So what's your plans? What you going to work on?
Well, I got another post that I'm going to post on my Google Plus. I just got to download all the pictures and everything. We already, for the first church, we already tore out the gas line. We called the gas people. They tore it out from the church all the way out to the road, capped it off. We replaced the old hot water tank with an induction heater.
Yeah.
And magnets. I got that off the post. The manifold is almost done. It's made out of solid copper, pretty much. Copper sheeting. 3/16. And, the motor spins and then it goes forward, goes into the copper manifold, heats the water up, and it's all done by DC. Which means you can use battery banks and you can use wind turbines, whatever else, and that's the next step, is to cut off the hydro.
What they're saying, when what they're doing is totally opposite of what they're saying. So, we have the technology to literally build clean, renewable energy, and the power companies don't want it, the oil companies don't want it, and if you put a windmill up in your yard in, apparently, in Minnesota, then you could potentially go to jail if you don't take it back down. There's places in Florida where it's illegal to be off the power grid. There's places in all over California, they're talking about your house has to be 0 point by 2017, which means you're going to have your house producing its own power. So while they're talking out one side of their neck, they're doing something completely different out the other side of their neck. So anyway, apparently I'm having a little bit of Skype.
Hey, I don't do videos, but I have no problem sharing pictures.
Well, share the pictures.
You know, pictures is, you know, enough. I put equations, formulas, well-written reports. But you know what? I think people should stay away from the YouTube, because YouTube is just the same thing. It's no different than a car. A car is a car. It's got four wheels. All they've done is copy-paste.
All go to the same doggone book for their deal. Nobody's willing to think outside the box, and those who do think outside the box catch a lot of ridicule and craziness. So I'm telling everybody out there who is listening, if you want to do it, you're going to have to just do it and not ask for permission. If they're hollering about your doggone solar panels in your yard, and put them in the bottom of your swimming pool if you can have a swimming pool, they'll work better. There's just so many different options out there, so many different possibilities that it's just mind-boggling, man. You see what I'm saying? Radio silence. This is terrible, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to put a podcast, or not a podcast, but I'm going to put another song on for a moment.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn, and nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from the carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
Look, all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean... That says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Sorry, I didn't...
All right, everybody, we're back. Ben had some technical difficulties. Y'all, you know, people out there want to spy on people, so they put software inside the software so that when you try to talk to people on this or whatever, you know, that kind of jazz, that's the way it all goes. You know what? Everybody out there in the world has to get theirs, right? They got to spy on you so they can get some money. They got to try to sell your phone number to the people out there advertising to you. People always want to sell you something. The government's trying to sell you something right now. They're trying to sell you some false science and some craziness. They're trying to put legislations and rules and regulations on you so you won't do this or won't do that. And I have no idea what's going on in the chat room because I had to shut the chat room off because apparently it's messing with my Skype and you guys can't understand me. Can you understand me now? No?
Yeah. Adobe Flash does. And without Adobe Flash, the NSA couldn't make no money off all your pertinent information.
Yeah, well, it's nutty. I'm going to have to get a third computer just so I can see what's going on in that section over there. But either way...
Yep.
Or you could just get a decent one where you can do everything on the same machine.
Well, maybe, I guess that could potentially be a possibility, but I'm going to need something sort of like a supercomputer, you know, with trillions and trillions, like the Chinese got, you know, that real big giant one that they got to cool down with thousands of gallons of water per minute to keep it from smoking itself. You know how many supercomputers are out there? There's a list of them out there. Anyway.
I like your roll-up solar panels, man.
Yeah, well, there's
the idea. I'll tell you what, this is.
Yeah.
You started the show with a different form of energy generation. So, wouldn't it be a good idea to end the show with what you can actually use that energy for?
Yeah, your smart drive and your Samsung permanent magnet motors. Those are wind turbine projects in a box.
Yeah,
yeah, well, that's the energy generation system, but what are you going to use that energy for?
All right, well, as they stand right now, and actually I think we're going to go over an hour, so we're not done yet, unless you guys are ready to bail. But those direct drive motors that come out of the washing machine, whether it be the Samsung or the Paco or whatever the heck that one was. Yeah, anyway, those are right off the store shelf, are already ready to generate electricity. The X13 motors, like Terry Woodruff and Ryan Abrams have been messing around with, that Raymond brought me one out, those are generators right off the store shelf. And people are all out there talking about how you need to rewind them so that you can get less voltage but more current and so on and so forth, blah, blah. 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt disagree with the fact that you don't even need to touch them. You don't got to do anything to them, with exception of maybe getting one of the nifty, with an exception of getting one of the nifty bridge rectifiers if you want to run DC off of it, like Raymond brought out there. And so they're already set up to basically charge batteries, you know. Whatever you want to do with them, you can put them on a pedal deal to charge up some stuff, or you know, make a wind turbine or a water wheel. Now, to take it a step further, gets a little bit more technical. Now, I keep telling everybody out there, I don't care about current watts and amps and all that kind of stuff. I start a fight every time I do that, because people don't seem to understand what it is that I'm trying to say to them. So I got to figure out some better ways to say it, apparently. But right now, if you take that generator, is it going to run your house? No. It'll run some light bulbs, it'll run some other stuff, and depending on how you connect it up, you could actually use a doggone Briggs & Stratton engine to turn it, or, you know, whatever, a diesel engine, and you can get quite substantial amount of voltage out of that thing. You know, if you're going to go that route, it's easier enough just to go out and buy your doggone gasoline generator. But these things are perfect for what I want to do. And like I said yesterday when I was out and about, and the guy said that if I wanted to pull that parts off and wanted to do my work myself, I could have these parts for free. So I got it completely for free. And if you go to the right area out there, the people throw these things away because there's a motor controller in there that when that motor controller goes bad, it's probably cheap enough just to go out and buy you a brand new washing machine instead of trying to repair the one you got. However, that stator never goes bad in there. The only thing that ever goes bad in those motors are the Hall effect sensors that are in there to tell the motor controller when to turn the motor on and off. And so it's got a permanent magnet rotor in there. Right out of the gate, if you save all the right pieces of it, bearings and all, and the part that you actually bolted to the plastic, you already have a right out of the gate, ready-built generator that you can do work with. Now, I'm taking it one step further. Because if you see my video that I put out there about the whole hard drive motor and how much voltage you could actually get out of the hard drive motor, and the fact that it would light up a good strand of LEDs that plugs in normally to a 120 volt outlet, 110, 120, whatever, and you can get that out by raising the RPMs up on that that hard drive motor. And I've seen that hard drive motor produce over 360 volts AC. Even had it up to over 450 volts AC at one point. It just depends on the RPMs on there. Now, you can imagine, since that direct drive motor out of the washing machine is exactly pretty much the same thing that's inside of a hard drive, you raise that up to over 5,000 RPMs and now you're playing with power. Videos that Gerard Morin's doing out there where he's talking about electricity isn't what people think it is. It's radiation, and he dumps this 2,500 watt generator down into a 50 kV transformer and then dumps that 50 kV down into a 25 kV, and he's running more than 2,500 watts worth of stuff on there, and that generator doesn't even bog down in the least. You see where I'm coming from there?
Yep.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. If you can take that energy away from that generator head, those things are capable of producing a whole lot more voltage than you think. I mean, when Raymond was out here, we were producing about 450 volts. We was running it off of a 12-volt, actually it was a 24-volt motor that we were running off of a 12-volt battery. And it produced over 450 volts AC out of that X13. So, right there told me that there was a whole lot more going on than what we were initially thinking. We actually had plasma inside the doggone bulb, the little stove starter, or the fluorescent bulb starter bulbs, and until that plasma heated up the little thermal switch inside there, there was absolutely no back EMF whatsoever. At all. Period. None. But the moment that doggone fluorescent bulb, or that bulb starter thermal switch kicked in, instantaneously Lenz's law took effect and there was back EMF. And the tungsten element light bulb came on. So what do you think's going on there? Anybody? Did I lose you guys again?
No. I got a background process going here.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing
that. Got a newsflash, Gary.
Yeah? What's the newsflash?
Well, I'm trying to access the link in the meantime. He said it's pretty important. So I'll go see what I can get here. You're generating enough electricity to heat up that tungsten element, it's going to light up, and I mean, that's good enough.
Yeah, well, I know, and it's history's proven it with Tesla's research, that you don't even have to have a lot of current watts and amps to do it. All you got to do is be generating the right frequency to vibrate that tungsten element, and you can get the light up anyway. Light is heat, heat is light, vice versa. So that's what I'm talking about, taking that energy and changing it.
Like Orion Abrams sent me this, was going to send me this Tesla coil, and he told me I could run it right off my 12-volt system down in my shop, and instead of trying to bring all the lights to it, he said I can run a wire off the top and just bring it near all of the transformers on all my fluorescent lights that are already in the shop. I can just run it right across all of those, and every one of them will light up. And he said, and it's not going to draw a bunch of amps. I think that's pretty cool. It's probably bordering right on radiant energy at that point. I know when you bring the voltage up really high, all sorts of cool, strange things happen that allow you to get more energy or usage of your energy. And I think that's pretty cool. At first, I thought the radiant energy was just a bunch of bull. But it's not. And I know different things, even cells in your body and cancer cells, different parts of your body and everything, different cells in your body resonate at different frequencies. And you get to the right frequency, you can eliminate the cancer without drugs and all that other crap. So, yeah, resonance. Resonance and high voltage.
Well,
It's like a whole new world. It's like Robert Searle's stuff there. I remember y'all asked me what I thought of Searle technology, and at the point, all I noticed was a bunch of magnets rolling around on a cylinder, and the only thing I saw, due to the lack of information on the web, the videos that I saw, was that these magnets were perfectly spaced direct, that they went out to several different things. But after talking to Stuart Lechte, who was heavy into it, he brought a bunch of points to my attention that it seems like a slingshot effect, kind of like a squirrel cage. You spin the squirrel cage, the centrifugal force of the spinning air brings it to the outside.
Yeah, with a weighted flywheel on the end there, even after you shut it off, its centrifugal force is going to keep it going for a while. Now, I put a weighted flywheel on that squirrel cage.
Searle's technology kind of does the same thing. As it's spinning, it's slingshotting them electrons out to the next layer, and then they're speeding up, and when you get it, after only three rings, or three sets of these rings and spinning magnets, man, it's phenomenal, the power that he's getting out of it, and it self runs itself. And my comment earlier, when the question was brought to me, I said, I don't see no free energy. All I see is magnets spacing out. Big deal, you know. I think it's just another guy looking for money. But the thing is, when he started drawing current from this, the machine went to the ceiling, and they had to pull it down. So basically, they built a flying saucer with the anti-gravity or the inverse gravity of that thing, and they flew it around the UK by ham radio all over the place. They even had a helicopter and a few planes trying to track it and keep up with it. And they said, we're trying to find it on the radar. He said, don't bother, it's already here.
Well,
and the speeds that thing flew on its own energy is phenomenal. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, and after doping it out and rethinking it, it's kind of, it's that slingshot. It's a slingshot effect with the magnetics and the electrons. I think it's amazing. Now that I'm back into it, I'm studying into it pretty heavy.
All right, listen. Now, without taking it on into the UFO section, which I know that technology is fully plausible after, I had this squirrel cage running out in my yard, all right, with the fan, like you've seen in the video. And when centrifugal force got that blade going around real good, I decided what I was going to try to do is see if I could unplug it from one and plug it into itself real quick and see if I can get it to run. Well, I couldn't do it fast enough because it's hard to get the doggone plug out and then shove it back in the other one before the momentum slows down on the squirrel cage. But I was able to get it fast enough to know that once I got that thing in there, I could actually hear that thing trying to run itself. So I got this crazy idea where I'd connect it in where I'd leave the AC power on and have a switch where I could shut the AC power off and already have this thing plugged into itself in order to do it. When I did that, and the AC power and the other field hit each other, that doggone squirrel cage deal got up and walked across the yard because it now had two opposing magnetic fields fight with each other. Now, take it how you want, but one thing I need to point out is that if you take apart one of the hard drive motors and you look at the magnet in there, and you test the strength of that magnet, you're going to find out that magnet inside that hard drive motor, that little ring magnet, is really super weak. Alright? And there is hardly any copper wire to speak of. It's a tiny bit of copper wire and a really super weak magnet. But yet, those motors run pretty doggone good at some pretty good RPMs. And spinning them backwards in the opposite direction at high RPMs, you can produce a substantial amount of electricity out of them things. So, tell me what's going on there. You got a really super weak magnet that's creating enough field that it is producing pretty doggone good electricity out of it. Tell me what's going on there. You have any ideas?
I think you're getting that slingshot effect we were talking about.
Well, and so with that said, it could be, could very well be possible that there's something different going on than the basic electron theory that we're all accustomed to, you know, shaking off the loosely coupled electron inside there. Because if you look at the way that some of these modern day motors work, the older rotors inside the AC motors had
right. Steve, that link, that second link up in there, drop that into the chat if you're able to.
The older hey, you know we're live on air, right?
Yes, I do. I know. That's why it's a news flight. Trying to get it out.
Right.
Anyway,
I put the coast-to-coast AM link in there because I find that the mirror.co.uk is a tabloid rag, and I would not.
Took that blower and you put it on the outside of that bin and everything, I found even better results if you blow it at the end of the squirrel cage so that it all radiates out. And I think the effect is, basically, as it spins, it's drawing everything from the inside and then slingshotting it to the outside, which has caused it to spin, which is also drawing it from the inside again. I think it's a kind of a electromagnetic loop with when you spin in the magnets. I think it's pretty awesome.
Well, the older armatures inside them electric motors had copper coils of wires around them. And the newer motors, if you look real close at them, they have aluminum, basically, I don't know what you call it, aluminum rotor inside there, aluminum armature. And it's got a little bit of iron in there. And if you look real close, there's like little grooves cut inside of that aluminum. Ain't no copper in there. And if you look at the transformer, you got a coil on which is the primary, and you got your metal laminates, and then there's just two little tiny loops of copper wire at the end of that thing. And yet that motor runs. Is any of that ringing a bell to you?
Let me put in this break here, this news flash deal there. Basically, they say a 1.6-mile meteor or asteroid was coming close to the Earth, and it was going about 40,000 miles per hour and everything, but apparently it has already passed the Earth, and it went through the moon's orbit. Was scaring the living fire. So that's pretty much what all that is about. If we got the links in the chat, you can go to that. I guess we'll break off from that as soon as it's already gone.
Yep, rocks in space.
Sorry for the deal, but the newsflash seemed like it was pretty important.
Well, guys, that may have something to do with the reason why we're getting such bad Skype receptions.
That could be.
Anyway, back to the energy.
Alright, doggone motors, if you look at the way that they're built these days, they're not built like the old style AC motors. And a lot of the motors that are out there are becoming permanent magnet motors with permanent magnet rotors in them.
And big time.
And so, right there, look. Any permanent magnet motor can be turned into a generator, even a tiny one. All right, and you don't have to charge something fast in order to charge it. You can trickle charge it with the tiniest motor. Is it going to take a little while? Sure. You know, just like, you know, only having one solar panel charging your battery, it's going to take a while. But once it's in that battery, it is potential energy, And depending on your amp hours or whatever, you got that long to run that battery. So you have to calculate your individual needs accordingly. And you don't have to have a brand new battery in order to be able to store power. You can store power in capacitors. You can store power in dead batteries. You know, and when I say that to people, they look at me all cross-eyed. But you know that Free Thinkers video, Matty?
The what video?
The Free Thinkers series that I put out there.
Oh, yeah. All the way up to Free Thinkers number 7. I like that last one.
Do you know that every single battery in there is a bad battery and they're all holding a charge?
That's great.
And it's all made out of junk. And I deliberately make all this stuff out of junk. I deliberately make it out of recycled junk, things that I pulled up out of the trash or were donated to me. Somebody didn't want their old washing machine and it had a part in it, I take it. Somebody didn't want their old toaster or their old microwave or whatever, and I'm building it out of junk. People are throwing away free electricity on a daily basis. I keep saying that if you take one light bulb off the power grid every single month, that's one less dollar in the man's pocket per month. All right, now, worst case scenario, power grid goes down. If you paid any attention to any of the videos I put out there of different gizmos that will generate power, then you can, at the very least, keep some lighting on. Even if it's only LED or fluorescent, you can still keep it on there. And when you start getting into Tesla coils and Slayer exciters, then if there's a guy out there on YouTube, his name's Deeds. Go look at some of the work he's done. Go look at Ryan Abrams' work. Go look at Terry Woodruff's work. And there's other guys out there that are doing some pretty amazing work with wireless energy transfer. Taking that energy from one frequency and then being able to run it down into a capacitor and then actually run electric motors off of it. So it ain't like it can't be done. Any frequency can be stored as potential power. Now, the reason why I keep saying about all I care about is voltage is because, like Gerard Morin was trying to point out, that he believes that electricity is radiation, essentially. You know, you've got a radiating magnetic field that is, you know, a frequency. And if you can take, since voltage is pressure, if you can take and move a set amount of energy quickly enough to continuously keep a capacitor fully charged, knowing the charge and discharge rate of a capacitor is instantaneous. If you have the capacitor by itself and nothing connected to it, you charge it up, and then the moment you short that out, it's over. But it's already been proven that if you hook an LED to that same capacitor, as long as that thing is under load, it won't discharge rapidly. It will discharge slowly, just like a battery would. And so, if this load that you're running is smaller than your capacitor bank, then your load will run. If you know, if you got a large enough capacitor bank, you can dump that down into a large enough battery bank, and then you can run your inverter on there. So up until we get to the point where we're actually flipping on the light, I don't care about current watts and amps. All right, all I want is to use that high voltage pressure to rapidly move energy from point A to point B. Because under their own laws of physics, energy can neither be created nor can it be destroyed. So where does it go? If I change the energy, then I got exactly the same amount of energy that I produced with my generator head in that other version of energy. It's still the same amount of energy. I ain't destroyed nothing. I ain't lost nothing. I ain't gained nothing. I'm not looking for over unity, nor am I looking for 0 point. I'm just looking for a rapid way in which to take high voltage energy, shift it off into another state of matter such as plasma, and then move it on down the line so that at this point, Lenz law, I never invoke Lenz law. There is no back EMF to contend with because their electrons are not able to flow back into the generator head. Therefore, it can't slow that generator down. in the video where you see the blower motor turning the squirrel cage fan, which is turning the X13, there is no direct coupling between the blower motor and the X13. So even if the X13 bogs down, the blower motor will never change how much energy that it takes to use it. It is still putting out the same amount of air that it was from start to finish. So there's no direct coupling for any of that energy to feed back and slow down the primary mover. Now we got the energy generated. I moved the energy generated from its state into a different state of matter. Now there is no direct coupling between that and the generator head. So there's no way that Lenz's law can be invoked and the second magnetic field be created that is opposing the field that you're wanting to use. You see what I'm saying?
Correct. Gotcha.
And from that point on, I take that energy and I ship it on down the line. Now, the reason why, like I said, I want the high voltage is because voltage is pressure. Am I wrong?
Nope, that's correct.
All right, so the higher the pressure, the faster I can move this energy, right?
Right.
Yeah, right. At this point in the game, I'm not looking for volume. I'm not looking for current watts and amps. All I'm looking for is to be able to move it from A to B quickly. When I move it from A to B quickly, change the state of that energy so that there is no chance of invoking Lenz's law slowing down the generator head. Now I take that energy, which is still the same amount of energy in the plasma state. I send that energy across and I start recombining it, turning it back into usable current again. The first step into the capacitors, bleed that capacitor over into a battery bank, and run my load off the inverter, and now you can take your calculator out and your measurements, and the current watts and amps will now apply.
That's gotcha.
It's as simple as that. So
then you're dealing with the regular physics.
Yeah, because you know any energy stored is potential energy, and I've said this a million times. An 800 microfarad capacitor blow your thumb right off your hand. That's a lot of power. All right, there's a punch to it. There's a reason why they put capacitors inside of big electric motors. You know, because they need that initial punch to get that doggone motor to turn.
Yeah, it's like a battery, and it allows it to continue its course. Thus, I don't know how to explain that. I'll think of it here in a second. Yeah, okay. If you put a single phase to a three phase motor, and you just run across one of the deals, you need capacitors on the other to keep the currents flowing in the other coils. They act as batteries to regenerate, and the deal is that you can go ahead and tap off of all three of them, and you're going to wind up with equal three-phase power.
Yep.
Coming out. So you can turn single phase into three-phase.
Well, and so with all this knowledge that we've got, we know the laws of physics. We know what can and can't be done, all right? So if you go step by step through there and you invoke the laws of physics that you want, such as centrifugal force, but you don't invoke Lenz's law that creates the back EMF, then you use things like centrifugal force that if there were any portions of back EMF going on, any kind of clogging effect whatsoever, when the RPMs get up to a certain speed and the centrifugal force kicks in, it's going to be more than enough to overcome the any drawback that you would have had on that other side. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And Gerard was talking about, like, look, if you're going to generate power and you got two identical motors, one that you're generating power with and one that you're using to turn it, it's obvious that those two forces are going to fight with each other. But if you take a large motor and you run a smaller generator that is still capable of producing a massive amount of energy, that large generator doesn't have to work as hard to turn that little one. It's just like leverage, you know. If you put a block underneath a pipe and you can lift something heavier than you normally could, you understand what I'm saying?
Yep, boiling right back down to resonant frequency. When you get it up to a certain speed, then all this starts to happen.
Yep. If your larger motor is your prime mover, your smaller motor is your generator. And that's what Gerard was talking about. Because you're using the leverage of the torque that is capable of running these direct drive motors, you're using that torque as the lever to turn that generator. And even if that generator becomes under a load, that generator can only produce so much of a load. And if that big motor has enough torque to overcome that small generator's load, then it ain't going to matter anyway. You're going to use the same amount of energy to turn that as you would be even if it wasn't there. So,
well, you got bearing friction, you're saying.
Yeah, well, you know, even in the friction portion of it, you know, we have the capability of making magnetic bearings where they literally float in a magnetic field. We got that capability.
I would assume that basically you would have to have a permanent magnet generator as the generator for the efficiency.
Yeah, and the higher the RPMs, the higher the voltage. If you get that thing, and you can do it. Me and Raymond did it when Raymond was out here. We were using pulleys, a large pulley for the torque and a small pulley for the RPMs. And we were getting over 450 volts AC out of that X13. Enough that we ran that through that doggone bulb with the argon in there. We were generating plasma. And so, you know, the plasma generated heat. When that heat turned around and heated up the element, it basically made the circuit, and the tungsten element light bulb came on. And so, with that said, the plasma itself is an energy source. You can take that the heat that is generated from the plasma. If you got tubes running through there in center of that deal, you can run liquid through that and have the plasma heat the metal up, which in turn will heat the liquid up, and you can move that energy off that way. There's absolutely no back EMF involved because it's a total different form of energy than the generator. You see what I'm saying? The electrons can't flow back the other direction. They figured this back out in the 1800s with the mercury arc rectifier. The mercury arc rectifier...
It's just diodes, right?
Huh?
To keep it from blowing back, you probably do that with just the diodes, right?
Well, to some extent, yeah, but not good enough, because even a diode, after a while, will allow electrons to flow back in the other direction. But you can test this yourself. Get a tungsten element light bulb, a regular, like 150 watt, and then get a smaller wattage all the way down to a little tiny tungsten element bulb. And then work your way down to fluorescent, and then finally down to LEDs. And you will notice a reduction of lens effect from the tungsten element being the greatest all the way down to the LED being the least of it. And so when you turn a light bulb on with the biggest tungsten element, you'll get the most back EMF. And working your way down, the thinner that path is back to that generator, the less back EMF you got. But with turning it into plasma, such as argon, like they did back with the mercury arc rectifier, when they first turned that mercury arc rectifier on, when it first put the power to it, their generators must have bogged down quite substantially, because mercury is a liquid metal, and you essentially had a dead short going on. That dead short heated up that mercury to the extent that the mercury was then vaporized, and then the high voltage AC coming in there turned that that mercury vapor into plasma. But if you were standing next to that generator while this process was going on, you'd note that the longer this thing stayed running, the less that generator had to work, because once it got into the plasma state, there were no electrons flowing back in the other direction. You now had a rectifier. You took high voltage AC and you rectified it into high voltage DC to run Edison's elevators.
Awesome. Hey, one other thing I noticed, if you had a coil, you had a secondary coil that went up high enough in voltage, And instead of making a bridge rectifier, you have two diodes where both ends of the coil had a diode on it, facing where the electrons could only flow outward. And basically tapping your ground. The main deal is it has to pull from the ether, or ether, whichever somebody wants to say. It would pull from there, and that's a basis of another form of the free energy I've seen out here. When I looked at it at first, I said, man, this is contradictory to everything. And I looked at it, is that right? And I looked at the polarity several times and looked at it, then it started to make sense. Instead of, trying to make a rectifier, the deal is, let's put it this way. If you've got, kind of like that squirrel cage model, if you're blowing the air on the inside and it's throwing it all to the outside and it's making it spin, and that spinning effect is putting a vacuum in the middle, I guess the point would be making a vacuum for the electrons would draw the electrons out of the air, and that's what I'm seeing in all this.
Do you think that it's possible to have single wire AC?
I do believe so. Basically got it on an antenna once you get to resonance.
Well, single wire AC, essentially, when they're sending 7,000 volts across that power line across one wire, the AC is fluctuating back and forth and it's in and out. And then they got a ground on the opposite side. So unless you've got two phase out there, you only need one wire coming in from the power company. You see what I'm saying? And
Well, don't we?
Yeah.
That's why they call it the hot wire.
So,
if it goes to the ground and then they charge you for your own electricity that you're drawing out of the ground.
Yeah. Pretty much. But either way, if you got a single wire AC where there is no return path back to the generator, then how could Lenz's law take effect and bog that generator down? If there's no return path for the electrons, then there's no second field being created.
I'd say the only resistance to a system like that would be the resistance of whatever it takes to draw the electrons from the air.
Yeah. Well, either way, the trick of the whole deal is step by step using the known laws of physics so that you're not making the electrical engineers go crazy because it doesn't match their school books. Then you need to step by step not try to defy the laws of physics, but use the ones you want and discard the ones you don't want, such as Lenz's law. You don't need it. I mean, you can still get the energy out. And if you think I'm wrong, go up there while that AC generator is going and put your finger on one of the phases of electricity and see if you don't get lit up. All right? Because energy.
Touch that damn radio antenna when they're transmitting. Tell me if you're not shocked.
And so that energy, it wants to go somewhere. You started the energy in motion and it wants to go somewhere. Now, if you send it out into a light bulb and that light bulb has a path right back to the generator, then Lenz's law will take effect and your generator will bog down. And the more light bulbs you put on it, the harder that generator will bog down. Until eventually the generator will come to a complete stop because you have now created an electric break.
Right.
So, that's what I'm working on.
Going back over to Searle, the Searle effect. His inner ring was basically, well, first of all, you got to look at 3 square and 4 square, where you got 16, on the 4 square, you got 16 numbers, and you arrange them to where they add up diagonally to the same number, which was, I believe, was 34, vertically and horizontally, all of them, kind of like a Sudoku puzzle. And basically what a lot of that boils down to is if you, Searle would figure, he'd weigh his copper for primary and secondary, and whatever's on the primary, Whatever's on your secondary, it must exactly match in volume of copper, or shall I say mass of copper, and then do your windings from there. And that makes things work. And when you get to the right frequencies, everything else is just negated, and it's kind of a free flow, almost like a superconductor.
Here's a crazy thought for you, and this will probably get me shot, but I don't think you even need copper wire, literally.
Nope. His inner ring was basically copper, okay, and then against that he had nylon or neoprene, whichever you want to call, but anyway, an insulator, and then it came to the insulator mixed with ferrous material, and then the outer ring of copper. And then the magnets were built pretty much the same way, but they were inscribed with a magnetic field that went up and down like a sine wave, and the rest of it was basically vertical. So your magnetic lines of flux were going 90 degrees from each other. And not only did these magnets spin around the outside, but they did not touch the outer side of that ring. They were actually free-floating, caught in their own gravitational field, and the faster it went, the more these things were caught in that field. So they were just spinning through the air completely, levitating as they spun up to big miles per hour. One time he lost one, and that thing shot out so fast and so far they never found the magnet. But that was due to an imbalance, and they got that corrected. But it spun so fast and all that, and it did create an inverse gravitational field and massive amounts of power. And I think it's great.
Well,
pretty much you look at any of it and you say, no, that can't be.
What do you think?
They get news footage for years. This is back in the 50s. Back in the 50s, a flying saucer, anti-gravity.
What do you
think? How come people don't know about it?
What do you think would occur if you took two magnetic fields and spun them in opposite directions facing each other?
I don't know. You got to try it. It's exciting. That's the way I...
Well, I'm going to make a nifty little gizmo and see how it works. But anyway, you know, I think that there is a whole lot more going on than what the common understanding of electricity, because ever since I saw what that little computer hard drive was capable of doing with such a weak magnet, and that magnetic field being spun so fast that it was producing a massive amount of voltage out of one little hard drive motor, it tells me that there's something else going on here than just shaking loose some electrons.
I was impressed.
So, being these new motors, these front loader motors, direct drive motors, smart drive motors, whatever you want to call them, are built exactly like the doggone hard drive motor. If that hard drive motor is capable of producing that much energy at that RPMs and higher, then you can only imagine how much energy you could produce with one of these other motors on a larger scale and bringing it up at those types of RPMs. And it's not beyond the realms of possibility to do it either, because using gear ratios, you can speed something up or you can slow it down.
Right.
And that's what we were doing with pulleys and belts. Now, my preference would have not been to have any belt in there at all. Maybe a direct gear drive or something like that to gear it up or down. But imagine if you had an automatic transmission connected to one of these, to where you could set that automatic transmission up, you know, start off slowest gear and work its way up to its highway gears. Once you get that momentum going and you got that torque, you'll overcome everything else behind it.
Right. Once you get to the right frequencies where everything resonates.
Yep.
Matter of fact, if you want to make a transformer, and you want to transfer from one power to another, or a frequency or everything, maximum power transfer is when the inductance is inductive coupling matches so you go from one transformer and it transforms to another. In order to get that power back out, you must match another transformer for the impedance coming in. Impedance matching is what makes the maximum power transfer.
Well, the copper wire that we use in our electric motors is nothing more than a guidance system. Those are the railroad tracks, right? And that's why we use to bunch them all together to try to create a strong field to move permanent magnets or even another induced field on a different coil. I don't think you even need the copper wire, literally. I believe you could do the same thing with steel wire or aluminum wire. If what Gerard Morin's talking about, this is radiation that instead of electricity that's going on there, then that opens up a whole different deal. And if you've ever noticed static electricity, it don't play by the rules. Static electricity will go anywhere. Watch lightning occur when lightning happens. I mean, it fingers out in all different directions. It's going to go to the nearest point of the ground. But it don't play by any railroad tracks. It's high enough that it'll go anywhere through just about anything and shock the crud out of whoever's on the opposite side.
Right. And the thing is, when you get to that higher voltage, you're not dealing with amps. Fuses are rated in amps. Wire gauges or wire sizes are rated in amps.
And it's moving so rapidly.
When you start dealing with high voltage, even static, you get a lot of power transfer because voltage times your amps is your power. If you got a lot of voltage, you could do just about anything you want with it in that stage with negligible losses.
Now, NASA had a video out. Nova group had a video out that talking about sprites. I was talking about that earlier. And they were talking about the Schumann resonance. Alright? And Schumann resonance is all the way around the Earth, and it creates, it produces 8 cycles per second that you can literally pick up on any radio out there. Alright? You can tune into it, and you can literally hear when a lightning bolt's going on somewhere in the world. You can have it connected to an oscilloscope, and you can watch the peaks. As a sprite is created by a super high bolt of lightning up in the upper atmosphere, you can hear it. So, right there, 8 cycles per second, all day long, every day, as for as long as recorded history has been going on. There's energy right there. If you got a doggone antenna, you can pick that energy up.
What does that frequency remind you of there, she says? We've had many a conversation
the
on it.
7.54, I think it was.
Right, which they try to tell you now is 7.83, which I'm still saying 7.54 due to experience in the past. Yeah.
And they say there ain't no such thing as free energy.
Yeah, well, that's kind of normal. It's recurrent all the time.
Can you run your house off of 8 cycles per second?
Yeah, you can also change frequency if you want. Matter of fact, higher frequencies actually are more efficient. They've taken your regular household current and raised it up in frequency and boost the voltage just a little bit, and basically your power meter doesn't turn near as fast or as far. But the other thing is, basically, it doesn't matter the frequency. You can get it. You can collect it. Matter of fact, I got a general coverage radio that goes down below that frequency, and that's pretty low frequency. Pretty low. And the Tesla Spirit radio, it's just a crystal radio. Anybody can build. All you need is one crystal diode. If you can wind wire around a doggone toilet paper roll, or if you want, you can make a crystal radio. But the Tesla coil, I mean the Tesla Spirit radio, makes a spiral. So the thing is like a spring. And you got a second antenna that comes real close to it. So you're playing with, as this coil vibrates, it has a capacitive reactance and an inductive reactance with the secondary antenna. And because it moves, you can get down to some very low frequencies. And anywhere on the globe, if there is a a lightning clash, which you're going to hear continuously, almost continuously, because lightning is going all over the globe all the time. But you'll hear every one of them. You'll hear any magnetic response around the world. These are super sensitive, and I can understand why Tesla was playing with them.
Yeah.
Anybody can build this. Look up a spirit radio. I don't like the ones that got the football-shaped coils. I like the ones with the spiral. That's what Tesla was dealing with. I see these people want to make these solid deals. They don't flex. You're going to hear stuff, but it's not in, and you're going to pick up light emissions and everything through the diode, and you're going to get a kind of a reverb deal. But the deal is, you need the, I've said this to several people, you need to just get you a nice stiff wire, wind it in a spiral, two of them, to where they, and you take your time doing this, because you want these things to be able to get very close to each other.
Well, you can't run your house off of water, all right? Until you change the state of the water. You turn the water into steam, and you can turn turbines, and you can run your house with it. With any frequency out there, is the same exact thing. You can't run your house on plasma. It's a different type of energy than the junk you're used to using. And so, with that said, whether it be water, whether it be gasoline or whatever, you can't just go up there and dump a gallon of gas down your carburetor and expect to go anywhere. Certain things have to be changed about that gasoline in order for you to be able to use it to burn, to run your car. There's absolutely no difference between what I'm talking about than common sense with, you can't run your house on water unless you change the water, you separate the hydrogen and oxygen, and you burn it as fuel. Then you can run your house on it. You can turn it into steam. You can do that. You can use the water falling, using gravity, to turn a water turbine. But regardless, all of it is potential energy, and it's all the same amount of energy on one side as it is when it gets on the other side. You haven't lost, you haven't gained anything. We're not talking about zero point, we're not talking about defying any of the laws of physics. We're talking about taking energy from point A to point B to get the work done that you want to get done. So if you want free energy, it's there. You just got to know how to move it. And that's what we're trying to figure out here, is to tell everybody how to move it. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, what do you think we take a quick music break and come back and finish this show off?
Well, you only got like 15 minutes left. Make a music break and you got your outro and only 5 statements left.
All right, well, keep on talking. I'm going to go take a nature break while you tell everybody about UFOs and...
Say hi to Mother Nature for me.
All right, I'll say hi to her. I'll be right back.
What, are we the only 2 left here?
You're still alive. I guess everybody bailed. So, entertain the world.
Well... Shoot. Yeah, well, got quite a few things accomplished here the last few days. If you've been watching my videos, I've got more footage that I haven't edited up yet and ready to put on YouTube. I finished welding up all the pieces on my tower. I also noticed that the top of my tower is wider than the bottom of the tower. I didn't build this. I've just been repairing it, and I've got that all set up. I took a 4-stroke edger. I'm fixing to throw an alternator on the end of the fan belt and make a nice low power generator and kick off on that. Other deals there. I've got these 6-foot pieces of fiberglass rod, and they're right at about 1 to 1.5 inches in diameter. And I've been studying up on geodesic domes, so I'm going to be making a shop here close to the house out of those fiberglass rods with bucket lids, and then I'm going to throw some kind of material over the top, hit that with cement, just kind of powder it with the cement and wet it, and then throw several layers of that on there before it finishes drying. I guess just wet it and then dust it with the cement, and when it starts getting thick, we'll dust it again. So I'm going to be playing with that. Let's see. I've about got the tower finished. The only thing left to do with the tower is to a little bit of uric acid on there to get rid of the heavy rust. And then paint it with Rust-Oleum. I'm going to do blue on the bottom, red midway up, and white on the top so it can be seen at night. Throw the wind turbine up there. Get that. I wired up some solar panels through a solar charge controller into batteries, and I've been jamming with the radio after, you know, charging the battery and just running the radio all day long, loud as can be. Free radio. Like I say, free is the price is right, always. So that kind of updates on that. I also took another motor off another lawnmower and put it on a DR trimmer so I don't have to be tearing up my my zero turn. And basically the pull cord was in the wrong direction, so I had to move the top of it and turn it around, drill out the rivets and put some screws in it. We tested it out last night, and that's working. Later on today, I'm going to be making even some more video that needs to be edited. That's going to, I'm tired of plants in the front, because around here, a lot of the lawns got these little Mickey Mouse ear-looking cactus they call prickly pears. I have a lot of plants on the front. It's been costing me quite a bit of money. But after the mower deck passes and mows them suckers down kind of flat, none of the thorns are facing up, so I've had zero problems with the rear ones. But buying tubes and having missing out on certain deals here. I haven't found any solid tires anywhere.
Just fill your doggone tires with concrete and get it over with.
No, Bubba, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to drill towards the center of the hub of the front wheels, and I'm going to put that spray foam insulation in them bad boys from Tough Stuff. And I found a secret to doing that is you got to pump air into them because it will not expand without an exchange of air. So I'm fixing to have flat-proof tires on the front, and that's going to be doing pretty good. That solves all the problems in the full list there. Other than that, the tower should be going up in a few days, and the wind turbine will be back up there, and I'll be wiring the inside for solar and for wind turbines. I've got four golf cart batteries I'm going to be throwing. I'm going to be charging them in parallel and taking the output in series, which will give me a 24-volt system. And I've got a 1,500-watt inverter that's going to be able to run just about anything I want. So I'm pretty much stable and set up on that. Yeah. So you'll be seeing videos coming out here pretty quick as soon as I get the editing time.
Raymond brought me down those solar panels that had been rolled up like a carpet.
Yeah,
and
man.
Those things still produce electricity even after they were damaged to that extent.
Man, them things had Herculite glass on the front, and them things shattered. Complete. One part of it breaks all the way across.
So even a solar panel...
They get those on pallets with like 30-something... solar panels on the pallets, and I got one of them. I don't know. I wanted a few more, but John Huddleston lives in Glen Rose, which takes me about 15 minutes to get to. I'm going to be getting me a few more of those, and I want to drop them on the shop.
Well, check this out. On the back of those?
Test results I gave, but basically they were true.
Hey.
They've got one quarter of the power they did before they were shattered, so that's what you got.
Who cares? It's one quarter free. Look. On the back of there, there's four connections on there. Take your bolt. On the ones I got, there's four. There may be a six. I don't know. Who cares? Look, take and measure. You take your bolt meter and measure them in different configurations, and you'll find out you can get anywhere from 12 to 40 to 60 to over 100 volts DC out of them things.
Wow.
It's pretty impressive for something that had been rolled up like a carpet and has all the glass broke off of it, but still works even after they've been laying out in the rain for who knows how long.
Yeah. Hey, you know that where they got pallets and they stretch that saran wrap type stuff across them?
Yeah.
They wrap the whole pallet in that stuff? I've seen John Huddleston and also Cluggy. Jim Clugston, and I think even Boomer, they tried coating it and just putting some kind of a coating over it. I say forget that. That Saran Wrap stuff, you can put several layers and heat it up and just melt it into it, and it is perfectly clear.
Yeah, well,
everything that they put on there kind of yellowed up or kind of fogged up, and it's blocking a lot of the UV.
I'm not even gonna do that. I'm not even gonna coat them. I'm gonna leave them out there cracked for the next 20 years and show everybody that they're still working.
Yeah, I think the cool thing is they're flexible now, so you can just if the hoodie the roof of your car is curved, who cares?
The
price is right?
Yeah, the key to me is, number one, they were free. Number two, even when they were broke and considered to be junk by others, they were still producing. And even if it's only a small percentage of what they could have initially produced, it's still putting out energy. So even one that's completely trashed is still working.
Hey, 19 cents per watt. You ain't going to beat that anymore.
Well, there you go, man, and that's one of the options out there. And those permanent magnet motors, look in all your appliances out there and see what you got, because worst case scenario, you can turn any of them into a generator, connect it to a bicycle and pedal the thing if you have to. You know, wind turbines, water turbines, there's so many different ways, so many different methods. And when I get this plasma reactor system situated to where it's where it needs to be, I'll give it to the world. I'll give every bit of the design for free. You can even beat me to it. It don't matter. Take a couple fluorescent bulbs, run them in line with a really super high voltage AC. You see it with doggone Beckett oil burner igniter. One's connected to one leg, and the other end's connected right straight down in the dirt, and you light that up. So that means that energy is literally transferring through the gas and going right down into the dirt. Because when I had that thing just connected to one leg, and I accidentally touched the other end while I was trying to connect it into the dirt, I shocked the living crud out of myself. So through a single wire system, that energy was traveling through that gas, right in through my finger, and lit me up.
You were doing a last breakdance, weren't you?
Yeah. So we know that we can send energy through the gas, and we also know that Lenz's law will never be invoked as long as that electrons can't make the return path back into that doggone generator. So instead of trying to defy the laws of physics, all you got to do is just whatever you don't want to occur, then don't let it occur. Period.
Well, you know you got two outputs on that Beckett oil converter.
Yeah.
And I say, if you take two diodes on the output and face them to where the electrons are going out, instead of that thing getting warm, it's going to get cold. Now, cold electricity is when you know you're trying to suck electrons from the air.
Well.
And that's where some overunity happens.
Either way, I'm not even, like I said, I'm not even trying to get over unity. I'm not even trying to get 0 point. Do I think it's possible? Sure I do. I mean, because we're surrounded in energy. And all you got to know is basically how to slap the water to get the waves. That's it. It's as simple as that.
Right.
Anyway, we're down to the wire, man. It's been a fascinating and aggravating show with the doggone tick problems and such. But now we know that doggone Adobe Acrobat is jacking with Skype and vice versa. So we got to figure out a different situation on that.
Yeah, I've only heard like two or three glitches in you.
Yep. Alright, well, everybody, you've been listening to Mad Science. If you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough, because it does exist. Even the big wigs up there in the whole science community, the ones that preach the bogus global warming scam and more, they'll tell you, but they won't tell you. They'll say, you know, we got all this massive power out there in the earth, tap into it. If you need heat for steam, how many thermal vents are out there in this world? How many lightning bolts are going on out there in this world? What about the Schumann resonance? Can you tap into that and actually charge up some batteries with it? Guys running around selling a gizmo that charges up your cell phone without being plugged in.
Yeah.
If you put a doggone solar panel on the bib of your hat and plug it into your phone, or even a LED you can charge your doggone cell phone with. It's all out there on YouTube. Get out there and look for it. Doggone it. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science. Take care.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.